Welcome to the Month 8 Investable ETR briefing that covers the trading period from the 1st of August to the 31st of August 2022. As the briefing document explains, exchange traded receivables are leases, monetary obligations, or bills issued under contract for assets, goods, and services supplied to investment quality companies, or credit insured invoices from investment grade insurers. What this means is that an ETR is evidence of a debt owing from one company to another. Typically, these tend to be large companies or banks that are household names and they owe money to their supplier. If we are providing finance to that supplier, we call that supplier an originator. We call that supplier an originator because they originate the commercial transaction that creates the ETR that Credit Exchange buys from them on the day it is issued. And this helps improve the cash flow for the supplier or originator. We call this cash flow support trade finance. And then there are two types of ETR that Credit Exchange buys or uses to create the finance that originators use. The first one is trade finance and the other is asset finance. Let's take a look at asset finance first. Most people on this call would be familiar with how leasing works. For example, leasing a car. There's different leasing models out there, but Credit Exchange provides operational leases, meaning that ultimately the assets are owned by Credit because if anything goes wrong with the lease repayments, this provides the best form of protection for investors in ETR, meaning your investors and their money. Credit Exchange doesn't finance cars. We may have a few commercial vehicle leases, but 90% of our asset finance is large plant, machinery, and both cargo vessels and offshore ships. Depending on the specific transaction, we aim to have what we call 50% price to value, or PTV, or what a bank would call LTV. Meaning when we buy a vessel, for example, we look to have the originator provide us with 50% of the asset value either in cash or providing other vessels as security. Ultimately, when we provide asset finance, we have a very strong PTV value where the originator is motivated to ensure they make their repayments or they risk losing an asset where 50% of its value belongs to them. The trade desk in trade credit has other methods of ensuring repayment by the originator, but a 50% PTV is a pretty strong motivator. Moving to the other type of finance Credit Exchange provide, you'll see it's trade finance. And if you look at the center of the briefing document, you'll see a list of the top 10 largest investable holdings. The reason why Nestle owe Credit Exchange money is because our originator has supplied them with some product or service. Given that I must be careful not to breach client confidentiality on this call, this originator company supplies Nestle with marking services. When this particular originator came to us back in 2019, they were invoicing Nestle about 170,000 euros per month, and they needed cash flow finance to grow their business. The banks they contacted weren't able to support them or weren't interested in their business. So they came to Trade Credit, that is one of the companies within the credit group. The trade desk in Trade Credit conducted their extensive due diligence and satisfied themselves that this originator was a well-managed company with good customers. Ultimately, the trade desk were satisfied that this supplier to Nestle, or what we call an originator, was a competent and capable originator for Credit Exchange to provide trade finance to. For example, apart from Nestle, the French drinks conglomerate Pernod Ricard was also a customer of theirs. With trade desk approval, the credit team authorized this company and we began to provide them with trade finance. As I said, when they approached us back in 2019, they were invoicing Nestle for about 170,000 euros per month. 3 years later, and because of Credit Exchange providing them with trade finance, they are now invoicing Nestlé almost 1 million euro a month. And what made this possible was that every time this originator supplied its services to Nestlé, they sold their invoice as an exchange traded receivable, or ETR, to Credit Exchange. Credit Exchange paid this originator 80% of the value of that ETR upfront, so that they had the working capital to grow their business with Nestlé and with their other customers too. Nestlé pays this originator 60 days end of month, or on average, let's say 75 days later. And when they do, Nestlé pay directly into the Credit account, into the Credit bank account. So not to the originator, but to us here directly at Credit Exchange and our bank account. And that's important, because this is one of the ways in which we protect our investors' funds. So let's look at that for a moment. Your investor is getting Nestlé debt with a 3% yield per annum. If they wanted to buy Nestlé debt, they could go and purchase some of Nestlé's bonds, and the yield on those bonds today is 0.375%. It's also worth pointing out, these bonds don't mature until mid-May of next year, 2023. When you compare this price to what your investors are getting from the same Nestlé risk, when on-demand yield between 2.5 and 3.75%, you don't need me to tell you that you're getting a 10 times better yield with Investable than they could get in the corporate bond market. And in addition, they know their money is helping real companies like our originator grow their business from 170,000 a month to 1 million euro a month. That's an increase in business for this originator of 6 times what they were doing back in 2019. Investors in ETR should allow themselves a little time in the sun here. Sure, they're getting a return on their money, as they should do, but in doing so, they're helping the credit group, who in turn are supporting and indeed creating jobs. Now, not to go on about my own view on a recession or kind of Credit's view, like Patrick has gone on numerous times in our briefings since April, but whether we are going to have one or not, it's good to know that for our originators, without our credit finance being available, accessing trade finance and asset finance would be that little bit harder for them. And our originators know that. So may I say a thank you to you and to your investors from all our originators. In the Nestlé example, this is what we call trade finance, and this is what an investable ETR is. It's perhaps not trade finance in its purest form, but that's how we label it internally. It's where Credit Exchange has created a method of finance where we use ETR to create the relationship between the Nestlés of this world and your investors. And we buy these ETR at a discounted price. As I mentioned earlier, we pay 80% on day one. And assuming the invoice settles on day 75, Credit Exchange will end up paying that originator another 20% less whatever charges we apply to the payment. It's those small charges or discounts that creates the margin for your investors and pays Credit Exchange for providing its services. Not all of our debtors are as strong as Nestlé, but TradeDesk won't provide trade finance to any originator unless they are satisfied with the strength and credit worthiness of their debtors. So that's it. ETR are either part of an asset finance transaction or a commercial trade transaction. Which brings me nicely to the first figure on the briefing for the month of August 2022, which it shows that on the 31st of August 2022, we held 41 euro spot, 97 million worth of RSA. And an RSA could be described as a bucket of ETR. RSA stand for revolving sale agreements. So when I say we had almost 42 million euro worth of RSA at the end of August, this means all our originators are contractually committed to supplying us with another 42 million euro worth of ETR in addition to what we already hold. And that's the second figure showing in the briefing document of 78.82 million euro. We have fully allocated or already in the market at the end of August. But going back to the 41.97 million euro worth of RSA for a moment. I got a bit of a shock when I was looking through the notes and preparing with Patrick, because our RSA value has been around 80 million euro for Mark for the better part of this year. And suddenly it's in August, it's dropped to 50%. But here's why. As some of you may know from prior briefings on the subject, the board took the decision back in 2019 to become more specialized in what Credit Exchange does. Rather than being a jack of all trades and a master of none, we decided the future of Investable ETR was in being the best we can be in just a few industry sectors. That way, we can always ensure our ETR provide the best and the safest returns your investors demand. As you heard earlier, that means the best and safest returns from trade finance and also asset finance. Since 2019, and over that time, even though trade finance remains 90% of the income in each month or year, as we brought more assets into Credit Exchange, 50% of our balance sheet is now made up of hard assets. So going back to our drop in value of our RSA trades, from an average of about 80 million euro to circa 42 million euro, that is because until this month, at these briefings, and indeed the briefing document itself, we haven't been including future income from asset repayments we have yet to receive. So the drop in RSA value to 41.97 million is because it does not include the outstanding asset income. And this, as at the end of August of this year, stood at just over 34 million euro. So if you take the 41.97 and add another 34 million to it, we're back at almost 76 million euro. And therefore, the shock I got and the shock Patrick also got was short-lived. There is more to this than what's being presented on this, but needless to say, this month, meaning that September's briefing document and presentation that will be given at the end of October, the briefing document will include the future income figure from assets on our books and from now on. One final word on the split in our business between asset finance and trade finance, where we've chosen to specialize in industry sectors like energy, mining, shipping, and trade. It's important that I point out that we may have chosen to specialize in these sectors. And as you can see, the Nestle case, marketing doesn't really fit into these specialist categories. And that's because we've 10 years experience in the broader market. And although we continue to focus on specific sectors and types of trade, we still know how to trade strong transactions from household name debtors when the opportunity presents itself. Moving on from what Credit Exchange does and how originators create the ETR from trade finance and asset finance that ultimately make up Investable ETR. I've already mentioned the 78.82 million euro of investor funds were fully allocated, meaning ETR we already own. When you add that 41 to the 97 of RSA and add the future asset finance income of 34 million, that amounts to a total ETR value, both present and future, to over 155 million euro in assets and trades we have on our books already at the end of August. Notwithstanding the slight shock I mentioned earlier for 2022, and overall, this figure has continued to rise each month and show strong and stable growth as we pour more money into the market. Moving to investor redemptions, I'm glad to see another significant drop in that number again, almost 50% for August, where withdrawals dropped from 1.34 million euro in June to under 600,000 in July. And as you can see, roughly 330,000 in August. Hopefully that's not seasonal, because as you all know, the originator demand for asset finance and trade finance has never been stronger. Therefore, we need to keep as much investor funds as we can. And it also explains why we're out in the market raising additional investor funds too. Looking to the Baltic Index, which is the index against which most shipping contracts are linked, things really weren't looking good here during August, where a low of 962 was recorded on the last day of that month, meaning the 31st. You have to go all the way back to June 2020 to see a repeat of that low number. From the 2,300 start in January, the market spiked at almost 3,400 mid-May. And as I said, was well below 1,000 on the last day of August. Thankfully, today it's shown a decent correction and it's currently sat at just over the 1,800 mark. Now, a little too early to call it, but the year looks like it's going to be flat. But for those of you who remember, 2 years ago, the daily dry rate for bulk Panamax was around $12,000 per day. And today it's roughly $18,000. This means that ship owners and charterers, our originators, are still making good returns and healthy profits out there. Today's prices on the FFA markets, they look stable throughout the next year too, at 17,000 mark. So there seems to be some stability in the next five quarters in the dry bulk sector. It was looking unsure and unstable for the past few months, so it's good to see it stabilized as we head into inflationary risk and recession becoming even more evident. There's a lot of bad news coming out of New York where markets are getting very uncertain. Looking at Asia, there are echoes of the Asian currency crisis from 1997 and the sovereign debt crisis in Europe from 2011. Then, as you all know, sterling just hit a 40-year low against the USD, while the euro is also fading. The emerging markets currencies are also struggling, and a lot of risky assets are under pressure too. Our New York advisor thinks markets are going to see some technical selling from automated margin calls and stop losses, and even recognizing the fundamentals that this could push prices into unusual territory. These fluctuations in the currency markets, like the weakening of the pound and the euro against the strong dollar, and the effect that this is having as far away as Japan and New Zealand. There was almost a 10% collapse in the New Zealand dollar versus the US dollar last week. Bad news for many, but this collapse has improved our profit margin on our trade we're about to finance there. Beginning tomorrow, against confirmed prices that are locked in from earlier in the month of September. Anyhow, in short, we're good on shipping in both asset finance and trade finance transactions that are shipping related. Moving to the market research from Seabourn, from their weekly research reports, they summarize important events that will impact markets, and their latest report talks of the OPEC Plus, being Saudi Arabian and Russian-led oil group, made an announcement that the USD $100 barrel price is here to stay in the near to midterm. It also mentions that China has doubled its exports of gasoline in the past 12 months too. Further down in the report, they confirm my numbers from prior months regarding the world fleet, where both the Handysize and Panamax, where both of these stocks have more than 15% of vessels that are 20 years or older. That means that in the next 5 years or less, 15% of the world's fleet in these two vessel sizes will be out of the market. More importantly, the order books to replace these are off by 12% and 5% respectively. To put this into context, of the world fleet, the Handymax and Panamax make up more than 50% of the total cargo ships in the market, with both of them going to lose 15% in the next 5 years, and only half of that being replaced with new builds. The shipping market should be able to sustain stable returns based on the demands that will be placed on this 10 to 15% reduction in supply, which goes to confirm the figures mentioned earlier in both the Baltic Index and the FFA markets. So, as I said, we're good with shipping and trade and glad we made the decision to focus our efforts in these two markets. As this briefing is about August trades, the healthy July figure of 18.44 million was beaten by yet another increase in August to 25.18 million for the month of August. Good to see, and let's see if we can increase that in September's figures. This 25 million helps the exchange's trading to remain at 23% ahead of all prior trading years when you compare year-on-year performance. So looking at Treasury performance, it did lag behind by 50% at 12.62 million And as recently as last Thursday, I expressed concerns at the credit control meeting that was below where it should be. Now, we expected September's numbers going into October should improve. We like money being in the market, but we also like to turn it faster too. And as you can see, the effect this slowdown has had on the credit index, which now sits at a number of 86. For August, the ETR average duration figure jumped backwards from 67 days to 86. And this is the first time we've seen an 80s number since March. And this is an unwelcome number in the mind of credit and of our team. Again, the credit control team is on it. The credit index has been holding fast at the 70s mark since April, but at 86, it is going in the wrong direction. As explained at prior briefings, a stable credit index allows for better planning and management by the trade desk. As you all know, the credit index is the ETR average duration or number of days it takes for an ETR to get settled. The credit index is the cash-to-cash life cycle, from a day an ETR is issued and purchased in cash, and the number of days it takes for the debt to be extinguished or settled, and the cash is returned. The credit index is one of our economic indicators that our market, meaning the one we're trading, is back to normal. And as I said, it's moved off its average of 75 during the month of August. Moving to the center of the document, this is where we list the 10 largest investable ETR holdings and the top 10 rated holdings. The left side list shows what debtors, as we call them, or organizations owed the exchange the largest amounts of money as of the 31st of August this year. And as usual, you can see the HSE remains an all but constant and is one of our four sovereign risk entities for August. This also includes both Laois County Council in Ireland and Lancashire County Council in the UK for a second month in a row, alongside Northumbrian Water to make it a total of four. Then we have Nestlé remaining for its fifth consecutive month, with a repeat of Balfour Beatty for the fourth time. Then we see Superpesa making its debut for the first time, and this company is headquartered in Sao Paulo in Brazil. This company is a large industrial and maritime conglomerate, and our originator has been providing them with specialist offshore vessel services. During August alone, the ETR values from these trades were in excess of over 500,000. Moving to the top 10 rated investable ETR, on the right-hand side, there's the regular appearance of Transport Supplies, Venus Wood, and now Balfour Beatty appears again. These are the highest rated debtors, and apart from Nestlé, as none of these were investment grade or have an investment grade rating as of the 31st of August, this list shows a selection of organizations, regardless of the amount of their liability, is simply a selection of the most creditworthy. The pie chart below these two lists shows a well-diversified spread of ETR across the market. Health and Community came in slightly higher in August at an almost 18%, which was an almost 3% increase. Overall, this number continues to hover between 16 and 19, as it has for most of the year. Wholesale Retail remains steady at the 25 to 26 mark, with Food and Beverage also holding steady at 6.780%. Manufacturing also held steady at 11.89, whilst construction dropped back from 19.44 in July to 16.95. But it's still stable because, as I mentioned in the previous briefings, we support numerous mining organisations for the national infrastructure projects in the UK. Looking at the performance section of the briefing document, you'll see a continuing pattern in the trade for August 2021 versus August 2022, where volumes continue to be 40% lower year on year, but values remain up. This means that for almost a year, our ETR are now coming in consistently higher in value than they were at the same time last year. As stated in other briefings, this makes sense when you consider who our debtors are and the industry sectors we're focusing on. We traded just over 97 million euro in 2021. And as you can see, we traded almost another 20 million higher in August this year at a total of almost 120 million euro to the end of last month. The credit index of 86 is noted, and to finish on our performance in August, the largest single trade was an aggregates trade finance deal for just under 3.6 million euro. As was explained last month, for the past 3 years, the average value of an ETR has risen steadily, and now the average value is around the 5,500 euro mark. And again, as stated last month, this is doubling in the average value of an ETR is nothing significant really, and is more an indication that the volume to value ratio has been increasing in line with larger trades. As always, we have traded ETR where the value has been less than a euro. And as you can see here, last month, the largest trade was valued at 3.6 million euro. And finally, let's move to the trend section of the August briefing, where you can see that the investor's yield or buy price remains stable overall at in around the 2.1% mark. The line chart started at 2.135% and ended down at 2.086%. Spread is 5 basis points and shows a consistent position of 2.1 and has been stable for the last 5 months. This then brings me nicely to the final item on the agenda, and that's the new investable program for intermediaries and investors alike. As you know, supply has been increasing all year, and in mid-July, we pushed the rate to 3.750% to see if investor demand would grow to meet it. This has worked to some extent, but not enough for us to keep it there. Effective the 1st of October, or on Monday, when you get into your offices, you'll see our new investable website, and indeed, we have a new investable brochure for all of you that have also come into effect on the 1st of October. In short, and as you'll see, we're going to move away from the fluctuating investor yield, like the one you'll see on the right-hand side of the briefing document, and move to a new system of fixed yield that will change after announcement. Meaning we'll advise people either on briefing calls like this, or by email or both. Myself and Ruby will fill in the details of how they plan to, or how we plan to communicate this from Monday onwards. And as you'll see next week, the on-demand product we're promoting for the last 10 plus years will remain and is unchanged. There will be two new additions or options added to Investaville, which will be a 12-month fixed investment period and a 3-year investment period. We're now calling Investaville demand will fall back to 2.5% effective Monday of next week. If your investor chooses a 12-month investment period, or what we'll be calling Investaville fixed, we will be giving them a 3% yield. And if your investor chooses the 3-year investment period, or what we'll be calling Investaville term, we'll be giving them a rolled up 11.67% yield. That should add to your discussions with investors and give them more options on how they want to save their funds with Investaville instead of at the bank. Regarding Investaville fixed or Investaville term, if the investor withdraws their funds prior to the end date, they can take their principal, but they will lose all of their yield. So please ensure you make this very clear to them in advance. So thank you for that. Then there's this new incentive scheme for intermediaries, where we are going to incentivize you all by paying commissions up front. There still be the quarterly payments as we've always done, but there is now an added bonus to help incentivize specific intermediaries and have multiple people or teams on the road, so that they can earn their commissions upfront and when they get their investors to commit to Investable. Now, we're still ironing out some of the finer details, and I will have an email sent out to you all later in the week or early next week once these details have been finalized. What I can say is that on this call that the commission will be split into paying commission upfront and then, as stated, the quarterly payment thereafter. We're also increasing the commissions to anyone that sells Investable fixed or Investable term, meaning we'll be paying you more commission if you bring us a 12-month fixed money or if you get investor to commit through a 3-year term with us. We're hopeful and expecting that this may spark the increase that the business you and your teams will do with us. As I say this, I will issue communications to you during this week and next on the new brochures and when they will be posted out to all of you in the coming days. And of course, the website will be changed too. When you see the new brochure and website, the focus has been on making InvestiBuild easier to understand for your investors, both existing and hopefully and indeed new ones. We hope it works for you and that you see it being more user-friendly from a website perspective. When you see it, we will welcome any and all comments, good or bad, as we try to give InvestiBuild a full image update. As always, and to remind you, with the negative yield to zero yield on bank deposits, the investors are now being offered a yield that is between 2.5% and 3.75% better by buying the InvestiBuild exchange traded receivables than by letting their cash languish unattended in the bank. And as stated, from next week, the rates for these three versions of the product can be checked anytime on investiBuild.com website homepage starting on Monday next. Then to finish, you will see a repeat of the active RSA or revolving sale agreement of 80.59 million euro. And then that then concludes this month's briefing for August 2022. So thank you very much.